Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to the Quality Hub, Chatting with ISO Experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here with Brian Smith, Director of Consulting Services here at Core Business Solutions. So glad you could be with us today, Brian.
Thanks, Xavier. Good to be here.
That's great to hear. Today's show is entitled Reviewing Your Progress, where we will look at where you are in your quality management system implementation process, and we're also going to talk about management review and internal audits. But first off, let's learn a little bit more about our guest, Brian. Could you tell us a little about yourself, please?
Hello. Yeah, I'm the director of consulting here at Core Business Solutions. I've been with Core since 2017 in some capacity, did a lot of consulting, and then moved up through management and have oversight over the consulting group at this time. I have about 18 years prior to that in manufacturing, mostly furniture, some electronics recycling, and I've been working with the ISO 9001 standard since about 2000.
That's great. That's a whole lot of experience, and I'm really glad you're here. So let's get started about what we're going to talk about today. Now that we've planned and implemented some of the processes of our quality management system, where should our focus be at this stage in the game?
Well, this is where we go back and review everything, you know, make sure what we've planned has been implemented, and we want to see if it's effective. At this point, everything that you've implemented should meet the standard. I mean, we're structured for that. So we want to make sure that all your processes are effective and meeting your targets and goals that you've set up. You want continuous improvement. That's what the whole entire 9001 standard is set up for now. So now it's time to go back, take a look at, are we meeting our results? Are we following our own program? And if not, we need to make some adjustments.
Since we have more than one person in the process, we're going to have to plan some training for that review phase that you're talking about right now. Maybe finalize, improve the process plans of what you're going to do. Make sure, again, reviewing them. One of the other things that we want to do at this stage is conduct a management review. Could you tell us what the purpose of a management review is and how one goes about conducting it?
Sure. So management review is one of those examples with ISO 9001 of definitions as the standard sees it versus Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Gotcha.
And in this case, all successful organizations have management reviews things.
Correct.
But the standard—
Well, let's say they should.
They should.
I mean, what if you're a two-man shop? I mean, you know, who's the management who reviews? But yes, you're looking at something.
Exactly. And you know, I always tell my clients, look, management review is a verb, not a noun. It's not an event. It happens daily, weekly. You know, you're always interacting with the management group and with everyone. But management review, as it's defined in the ISO standard, is a structured, planned review that has required inputs and output.
In this meeting, it's going to have minutes. It's not going to be your daily review. Hey, let's sit down with management and talk. And in this meeting, you're going to discuss important issues that are not urgent.
You know, that not urgent thing is kind of critical because, you know, if there's an urgent need for your department, your process, or your business, you're going to bring that up. That's one of those daily or weekly meetings.
Absolutely. In the moment, hey, we need to take care of this problem right now. This is where you're looking at higher level organizational structure and things that you're going to implement.
Yeah, this is important but not urgent. And I'll give you an example. You know, if I need a new extension cord back in my department, I'm going to say something to, you know, management and say, mm-hmm. I need that. This is more advising or informing top management of things that are going on down on the ground. Like, we need to start thinking about replacing that air compressor.
Right.
In a large factory, that's a big deal. That's capital planning.
So in some internal factors, hey, Jim's 68, he's looking to retire. He's the only one that knows how to handle this piece of equipment. That's the type of stuff that we're talking about in this management review.
Exactly. When you come to management review, you want to be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to talk about requesting capital expenditures, you're going to want data, you're going to want some quotes and things like that. That's what management review is really intended for. It's the things that you don't talk about on a daily or weekly basis. And it can be to inform top management of things that are going on, I do a management review for my department consulting here mm-hmm. for the president, Scott. He's not a micromanager. He lets me run my program, but quarterly I put together a structured meeting to inform him and get his counsel and feedback. It can also really work out well because now all your other process owners or other accountable people are in that meeting mm-hmm. and you can get counsel. It's like, hey, has anybody ever dealt with this, anything like this before? I'm struggling with it. You have everybody in a structured meeting.
Well, yeah, you have Bill over here that has been in that situation before. You might not be aware of it. You have a need, a concern. And Bill's like, hey, I remember when we dealt with that with one of my previous jobs. You're getting some counsel. You're getting some input that he can help. And you're not trying to, you know, recreate the wheel.
Exactly. Or, you know, if you're looking at making some planned changes, which is a good idea to plan your changes, you may find out in that meeting that there's some risks to another area of the operation that you didn't realize. Mm-hmm. You know, we're using data. We're using a structured system to determine what actions to take or not take.
Right, right.
And that's one of the really critical parts of management review is there's required inputs in the standard that you must have in your meeting. The results of audits is one of them. Turning the inputs into outputs is the key. So what improvements do we want to put forward, or what actions do we need to take? And then it's very critical that those outputs are the first input to your next management review meeting. We don't do things for auditors here right. generally, but I guarantee you that's one of the first places they're going to look. That the output of your last management review needs to be the input of your next management.
So you're really checking if you act.
Yes.
No, that totally makes sense. And even in this whole thing, you know, it's like you're looking at data, reviewing it, and seeing how you're going to act on it. That's a quality management system. Really, in a small nutshell, you're being intentional. You're making sure you're tracking data, you're reviewing it, and you're acting on it.
Sure. So your data that you collect and review, generally we call those objectives, that should be congruent with your risks. You know, in Section 4.1, the first auditable clause in the standard is called context of the organization. And that it's looking for opportunities to take advantage of, and it's looking for possible risks that we have to mitigate.
Right. Risks and opportunities are fundamental to 9001. And you're looking at it, is this a risk or is this an opportunity? And a risk can be an opportunity.
Yes. And the key to your objectives or your metrics, you know, in the appendix of the standard, it mentions congruency. Mm-hmm. I don't use that word very often, but it does really sum it up. If your metrics aren't congruent with your risks, you're missing something. Either we're missing a risk that we didn't identify, or we should have another metric because we have identified
gotcha.
A risk.
Gotcha.
So the you know, one of the big outputs of management review is how do we do on our metrics? And that's where it gets subjective about your objectives. You have a little room there. If we missed our target by a percentage point, you have to take action. That action may be to decide not to take action.
But you're being intentional.
You're making
a decision either way. Whether it's, are we going to change and try to address it, or are we just going to choose not to?
That's the choose is the action.
Mm-hmm.
You chose to let it ride. That target was somewhat arbitrary. We have bigger fish to fry.
Right.
Let's sit
right.
on it. Let's watch it for another quarter and decide what we want to do there. See if there's another trend.
Now, you were saying about sitting on it for another quarter. What do you recommend? What's common for having frequencies of these meetings?
So let's start out with the standard again. The standard does not define for you how often to have management review. I wouldn't do it any less than annually. Again, it doesn't say that in the standard, but an auditor is going to say, look, this isn't effective. You know, let's do it every 5 years. It's not going to work.
So doing it too infrequently is only going to be detrimental.
Yes. And on the other side of the coin, doing it too frequently can also be detrimental.
Mm-hmm. You're probably not given time for that action to really do anything. before you're reviewing it.
That's one part of it. But like my rule of thumb is we want to have our meetings set up as frequently as our data analysis.
Mm.
One of the parts of an improvement project is how frequently should we look at this data? And that has to do with how many data points you're getting. You want to be strategic. We have an objective here that's a six-month objective mm-hmm. because if you look at data too frequently, you could go in the wrong direction.
Right. You haven't had a chance for it to flesh itself out to get an accurate metric to look at to make a decision on.
Exactly. So if we have quarterly objectives, it makes sense to look at these objectives quarterly and decide what action to take. Which may be nothing. But if you have quarterly objectives, you do not want to meet biannually.
You're doing quarterly metrics, but biannual meetings, there's a point in there where you have data which you really should make a decision on.
So yeah, we set up the objectives to be monitored quarterly mm-hmm. because that was what was appropriate. So you don't want to wait 6 months to discuss the results of those metrics with the management team.
Correct. Right? So the frequency should be practical, useful, and based on when you get data.
Exactly. How often do you want to look at data for your objectives? If you have quarterly objectives, you want to have management review quarterly. That's probably the most common tempo is quarterly.
And again, this whole standard, 9001, you set it based on your company. We're not telling you, hey, you need to do it quarterly. The standard, I should say, isn't telling you you need to do it quarterly, biannually, every month. No, it's based on what you determine those business needs are and when you should do it. So after we do this first initial management review meeting, we're talking about prepping for an audit now. Now, there's actually two. There's an internal audit, and then there's a certification audit, which is done by an external party that is a specific registrar that can actually give you your certification. What's the difference between those two?
So yes, a certifying body has to come in and do a thorough audit, and they determine whether your processes meet the standard.
But that's not what we're talking about.
That's
right here,
not
right?
what we're talking about.
We're talking about the audit before the audit.
Exactly. The internal audit, and they will. When you have a third party audit, one of the first things they're going to tell you, it's scripted. This is a sampling, and that's really what it is. They don't have the time to dig deep into your processes. They're doing samplings. Your internal audit should be thorough, much more thorough. It's much more effective for the well-being of your organization than a third-party audit, mm-hmm. right? Now, there are things to be learned in a third-party audit, absolutely. You know, down the line, you don't want to find yourself doing your internal audit a month before your third-party audit to get ready.
Right.
And I'm doing air quotes there. So you want to offset those by 4, 5, 6 months. So you get the most out of both of them.
So Brian, we're talking about prepping for that internal audit. You want to get that audit plan and schedule put in place for people. And if we have some information that helps us get ready for that audit, we want to complete that. We have to have a registrar that's going to come in and do the audit for the final certification audit. We got to confirm those dates and make sure we know what our improvement plan is going to be. That's some of the stuff that you want to do when you're prepping for that first internal audit. Let me just ask, after you've done these things, what is an internal audit and its purpose?
So the internal audit is part of this, the C, the check in the PDCA. And it's basically a very thorough analysis of your processes to make sure that we're doing what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this initial audit, we're also making sure what we're saying meets the standard.
Correct.
Right. And it's an evidence-based, open-ended questions where you gather evidence to prove that we're doing what we're saying.
When you were saying about you're doing your own internal audit, which is a possibility, we also here at CORE do provide internal audits. Talk a little bit about that.
So a couple requirements for the internal audit. You have to use impartial internal auditors.
Okay.
So I can't audit my own process. That's pretty obvious, but you really shouldn't be auditing processes that you're a stakeholder in. It's not going to be as effective. You're not going to get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you have to be able to prove that these auditors are competent and they have the credentials to do the audit. the standard does not require what that is. As an organization, you can determine what that is and what training you want to give. And, you know, in your core training, there is a module that outlines what courses you have to take to be a competent auditor, and we give you a certificate. The reason we do so many audits for our clients are you have to have multiple auditors, obviously, and getting them freed up for the amount of time that they need to do the audit.
Right. I mean, it's going to take time out of whatever their normal schedule is. And then you've got to train them, or at least make sure they're competent, which may require training. That's a lot of time, a lot of effort.
It is. And it's risky because, you know, you don't want to write up your buddy and that kind of thing. It's human nature.
That's a really good point. You know, you don't want to be like, I really like Jim, but, you know, I'm looking at this process and the stuff that you do and it might be a little iffy, you know. Having somebody that's impartial has got to be great.
Yeah, it is. And it's easy to say that you're auditing the process and not the people. Your workers, your people, employees, have to have no question in their mind that no one is going to be disciplined for finding an internal audit.
An audit is auditing the process, not the people within that process.
Like I said, it's easy to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that concept in place and it isn't ingrained, you'll never have a decent audit.
So if we have one of our internal auditors come in, you don't have to worry about that. You're having that impartiality in place and you're just looking at this is how it should be. These are where the problems are.
Yeah, it's more convincing to the people that are getting audited that this isn't personal. I don't even know you.
Right, right. And I guess the overall point of the internal audit is continuous improvement.
Absolutely. That's what the whole standard's for, like we talked about before. And this is one of the key that are the vital or critical clauses or functions in a quality management system. If you're not auditing your processes, you're missing things. And most of the time, it's improvements that have been made. And you want to keep up with those because people come, people go. And if we don't, you know, mark those improvements and adopt them as common practice, you could lose them.
That makes total sense. I mean, some businesses get into this whole 9001 quality management thing because they have to. So they just want that certification so they can continue doing what they're doing. But there's much more to it than that. A quality management system is being put in place to help the business grow, for you to improve your quality for your customers, your stakeholders, anybody involved. So the more you're invested into it, the better your results are going to be as a company.
You make a couple good points there. You know, that's not kidding around. Some people just need that certificate
right.
to keep doing business with one of their customers.
Exactly.
But my advice would be, obviously, you're not going to be using it the way some companies are that right. are structuring a brand new QMS. But go through it and use it. You may realize an opportunity or mitigate a risk that you didn't see coming.
Yep.
But it can be a hard sell when you've had 100% customer satisfaction for the last 10 years and everything's flying smooth. But don't miss an opportunity, because the whole standard is about realizing opportunities and mitigating risk before they eat our lunch.
Right. Well, and honestly, if you've had 100% customer satisfaction, maybe you're not measuring it right.
That could be too.
So that's not to say that you're not doing a great job, but maybe we're not asking the right questions that help us improve. Again, continual improvement. What can we do better?
Right. And it comes down to, you might be losing money.
Yeah.
That's you know, if we're going to be real, I've seen that where I've had very, very small companies. They're pretty set in their ways and very successful. We go through this process and they discovered something they could do better and their profit margin got bumped.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Brian. It has been wonderful talking with you, getting your expertise and insight with all of the experience you've had here. And it's just been great. Thanks so much for being here.
Glad to do it.
And we want to thank everyone who's listened to our podcast today. We hope this has been informative to you. You've learned a lot from Brian. And we want to make sure that you check out our next Quality Hub podcast next week. Have a great day, everybody.